Hello, I'm David Hughes from the Corporate Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. Our Tech 17 series brings together subject matter experts from WWT, our partners, and our customers to discuss important topics on today's IT landscape. Today, we'll be talking about a hot topic in the data center area called container and microservices architecture. To help us discuss this topic today, we're going to be joined by two experts from WWT in the data center automation team, William Caban, who is a technical solutions architect, and Ian Evans, one of the practice leads in the data center automation team. William and Ian, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you both. So let me just kind of, just to get things started, maybe just kind of throw this first general question out. Guys, just to kind of give our audience a little bit of background on the topic, what are containers and how are they different from a virtual machine?
Sure, I can take that one. This is Ian. So when we look at the typical landscape between containers and VMs, there is a lot of talk, of course, both right now, and one of the really hot topics, as you mentioned, is really around containers. The architectural components of those do change quite a bit. Containers is a new way of looking at deployment of applications and doing it in a more simplistic way, a faster way. And one of the main drivers behind containers is really to push application provisioning forward in organizations and with a little more agility than you would normally see within a kind of a standardized virtualized infrastructure environment. When we look at the differences between VMs and containers, what we see is really in container environments just stripping layers of very specific architectural pieces away. So you have less complexity in between the operating system all the way up to the way where the application deploys. And traditionally within a virtualized environment, you'll see more virtual abstraction layers. With a container environment, you're actually going to the base level operating system and you're launching binaries directly from that base level operating system, which really improves not only the agility of being able to deploy an application from the speed perspective, but it also reduces a lot of the complexity to actually get down into the core operating system to execute very specific commands for applications. And what we see as a result in that is we see a pretty significant jump in not only provisioning speed, but also performance, because you don't have all these additional layers of abstraction that you kind of have to deal with. We're also seeing within the VM versus container environment, we're seeing very specific kind of targeted use cases. And in container environments where they're very, very popular is when you do have web-based applications and you've moved more towards a microservices infrastructure and you want to be able to deploy those web applications very quickly. Containerized environments tend to lend themselves very nicely in those type of scenarios. Whereas in virtualized environments, they still have very specific use cases. Yes, they can run web-based applications, but you're going to see much more complexity in the provisioning process, because essentially what you're having to do is you're having to build another operating system inside of a virtual environment, and that takes additional time for provisioning, where in a containerized environment, you're really kind of you're removing that additional step for provisioning. William, did you have anything that you wanted to add on that?
Sure. One of the things with containers that we have to understand that's happening behind the scenes is that in the traditional world, when we go and install an application, we have the basic OS, the operating system, and we install the libraries, and we make sure that everything complies with our application according to the requirements that the developers set up. With containers, on the other hand, what we have is a way that it takes the whole application with the dependencies and it packages it in an image format or a binary format, which then it can be executed anywhere from the developer's workstation all the way to production environment without having to go and try to fight our way around the dependencies or libraries. And another thing is, due to their abstraction levels and the way they work, for example, in a virtual environment, you can probably have 80, 150 virtual machines. But in a container, we can talk up to 250 or more containers per server or even per virtual machine. So even consolidation ratios of all applications and services now increase significantly.
John, it's really interesting, guys. I think I know a lot more about containers than I did just a few minutes ago. But I guess my next question would be, so why are containers such a hot topic right now?
Well, I think there's several different reasons for that, and I think William touched on some of that, but is really one that I can think of off the top of my head is portability, like William just mentioned. Is, you know, developers want the ability to be able to make sure an application is portable across a multitude of different environments. And when you're developing in kind of a minimalistic type of environment in terms of dependencies, which containers really lend themselves nicely to, you actually have an application that can move into different realms. So as an example, if you build a containerized application within, say, OpenStack, and you're running it through Magnum or something like that, or Docker, you can then take that application and you have the ability to move it into even a public cloud that might be running containerized services there. So portability becomes a much easier thing to do with containers. So people are latching onto it from that perspective alone, is they want to be able to make sure that that application isn't bound into a very complex infrastructure footprint. Another one is provisioning speed, which I think is very key. I mentioned it before. You know, people want the ability to be able to provision these applications much faster. They don't want to have to deal with complex monolithic work infrastructure components to do it. And one of the main goals around a lot of the container movement is to remove a lot of those additional dependencies and make that process much easier. So you'll see much faster provisioning speed just due to the fact that there's not as many components in the service chain when you're actually deploying an application. Another one is better dependency, density. That's a really big one in terms of making sure that there's the best allocation of resources when you're looking at your overall hardware, your virtual footprint. And what we're seeing in a lot of container environments is there's very good memory CPU mapping into very specific parts of the application that are running on the core OS binaries and libraries. And we're actually seeing much better tracking of individual resources than you would with additional abstraction layers. And additionally, you're getting better one-to-one performance because you don't have these extra abstraction layers. Therefore, you're going to have a little better control over the amount of density that you get into specific environments. As William mentioned earlier, you're able to deploy a lot more containerized applications than you would standing up individual virtual environments and really kind of wasting a lot of those CPU and memory cycles to have this environment built out to be able to run several different applications, and you may not be using all that memory, you may not be using all that CPU, and it's just kind of sitting there wasted. Whereas in containers, because it does kind of use that core OS footprint, you're going to have much better utilization there. And the other one, the last one, is performance. You're going to see a lot better performance, and I mentioned before, because that abstraction layer is not there that you normally would see within a lot of these virtualized environments. Therefore, you're getting much better access down to the individual pieces of hardware, and the actual performance that you'd normally see within a standalone OS environment, you're actually going to see up to your application as it's running in the container. That includes storage, network. You know, it just depends on how this stuff is engineered and architected, but in most cases, you will see better kind of almost one-to-one performance in some cases with containerized applications.
No, it's really interesting. Yeah. Oh.
Go ahead,
Ian.
I will add.
Or William, sorry.
William, yeah. So I will add to why it's a hot topic. Think about this. All the promises, all these years, we have had to developers. First, years ago with, okay, that's going to create a programming language that you can write once and you can execute it everywhere. And we had attempted that many times. Look at Java. Now, then we had virtualization. So, okay, virtualization is going to abstract the details of the infrastructure so you can code or develop your application, and as long as it's virtualized, it can run anywhere. Not true, because if it's running on VMware, it cannot run on Hyper-V, it cannot run on the cloud. So then what we see with this option now with containers is that literally it doesn't matter where you write this, if you're running it in your laptop, if you're running it on Linux, or even now on Windows, Microsoft has included now support for containers. So you can literally write your application once with your preferred OS, your preferred methodologies or libraries, and you send it to operation and deployment in a way that it is guaranteed that it's going to run. It doesn't matter if it's in Amazon. It doesn't matter if it's in Azure, if it's in VMware, if it's in Red Hat, on Ubuntu. It doesn't matter. So it brings that abstraction. It makes it a reality now. And that's a very powerful feature or capability that we see.
Well, I can see why it's definitely a hot topic right now. So given what we've talked about in terms of containers, how does microservices architecture frameworks like Mesos or Kubernetes fit in?
So think about this. Now I have an application, a microservice. I have something that I wrote in my computer, and now it can work anywhere. So that's good because now I can generate and create faster development and do more applications. But now, instead of having to do one app, I'm probably doing 10 or 20 more apps for the same period of time. And now these apps can run anywhere. So how do I manage this in a multi-data center, multi-cloud environment? And that's where these orchestrators or containers orchestrators like Mesos or Kubernetes fit in. So now think about the promises of hybrid cloud, for example. In hybrid cloud, the idea was, okay, you have an on-prem environment, you have the public cloud environment, and somehow these two worlds are going to work together. Well, the truth is that today we still do a lot of patching to make that work. We have to create and be worried about creating the interconnectivity between our on-prem solution and the cloud solution. But what happened with something like Mesos or something like Kubernetes is that all that level of abstraction of the different layers, like storage, like networking, everything is abstracted in a way that now my application, I can deploy my application over one of these frameworks, and the application can go and run natively on-prem or immediately actually also start running in Amazon or in Azure without the developer having to worry about that. So from the operation perspective, now I can have thousands and thousands and thousands of deployments that very few people are required to manage, because these frameworks take care of abstracting the data, abstracting where the replications are happening. So the service is just working in the environment that I have set up. I don't have to go and basically go and create or recreate the wheel every time I want to have a multi-data center application, for example.
Yes, absolutely. And William, that's great. And I do agree with that. And I think that the introduction of these technologies, very specifically, you know, Kubernetes is an example. What I like about these is that the level of pluggability they have in terms of overall orchestration of containerized environments is very key. So if you do have additional technologies, third-party technologies that do need to be brought in as an example to be able to work with underlying parts of your container infrastructure, then the Kubernetes platform is nice because you can effectively build individual pieces into it. You can make that part of the overall orchestration framework, and you can strengthen the position of containers within your data center and how it works with the rest of the components that you're really kind of trying to build out for your software-defined data center strategy. And I think a lot of these are already touched on, but you have a very large amount of scalability that you have in there that you can build out. And then with additional modern hooks that are going into newer infrastructure, these things are starting to be brought in and starting to be part of the overall automation strategy for a lot of companies. So when they do kick off containerized workloads, it's effectively working with the hardware a little bit better at the orchestration layer to ensure that, you know, everything's kind of part of the same service chain. You're not kicking off individual pieces all over the place and having to do a lot of manual process. And infrastructure isn't really kind of an afterthought as it pertains to the overall container strategy for your business.
No, I can see why those would really be some great benefits for the organization. So, guys, we're down to just our last minute or two. So maybe just kind of one quick question, maybe if you just kind of wrap things up. So just kind of big picture, what does the adoption of containers and microservices architecture mean for the IT teams within the organization?
So let's think about this. We have storage nowadays. When we create storage, we think of that as something that is inside our data center. With microservice architectures, storage and the data there has to replicate anywhere where our containers are running. So we have to treat and have a different type of storage. The same thing will happen with everything else. Now, we cannot continue using the traditional one. Yes, we can benefit from those, but now we have to create a new way of supporting storage, networking, even the compute side of it, in a way that is multi-tenant aware, which is multi-cloud aware and multi-data center aware, but at the same time, be completely agnostic to the infrastructure underneath.
Okay, great. Ian, did you have a final thought on that?
I think William hit it really good. I mean, I think the really quick final thought that I'd have on this microservices piece is it's nice because it appeals to all parts of the organization. Organizations that want the agility to be able to deal with, you know, high rate of change, very low costs of change, where they don't want to spend a lot of money, and they can have a high tolerance for disruption. You know, developers as an example, it addresses that very well. And then it's also to the point where it's reliable enough where it addresses the parts of business that can deal with low rate of changes, high costs of change, and then also very low tolerances for disruption. So what we're now seeing is the maturity is enough to where it's actually starting to show a very level of high promise within organizations around production workloads, and we're seeing it deployed in the real world in much more than it was in the past. And I anticipate going into this next year that we're going to see an explosion of just overall microservices and containerized applications within the enterprise.
Okay, great. Well, actually, guys, that wraps up this episode of Tech 17. First, I'd like to thank William and Ian for providing their insight and expertise on this hot new topic of containers in the data center. So William and Ian, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
And for our listeners, thank you for joining us. And if you're not a current subscriber, please subscribe to our Tech17 channel to hear past episodes and to keep up with new episodes that will be coming to the Tech17 channel. And also, please subscribe to our other podcast channel, Tech37. They're both free and available on iTunes and other podcast platforms. So have a great day, everyone, and we'll see you next time on WWT's Tech17 podcast channel.